All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and Psalms 32. We'll start reading in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. We're going to read several verses and then we'll go to Psalms 32. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan unto David and came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for a wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. The Bible says in verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives from before thine eyes, or take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with them, or lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou, watch this now, verse 12, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went into her and lay with her. She bare a son and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. We'll stop reading there for the sake of the message tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I pray, Lord, you bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to say what's, Lord, you've put on my heart this afternoon. I pray, God, that you'd help me, Lord, with the message tonight, that to go forth and accomplish your will. I pray, God, that your will is done here tonight. Father, open the ears of every hearer. Lord, tonight I do pray, may your will be done. May your will be accomplished. Father, we'll thank you, Father, and we'll praise you for everything that's done. In Jesus' loving name we do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, most of you are familiar with 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Chapter number 11, we find there that David had sinned with Bathsheba, and that's not a secret. Everybody's ever been in Sunday school, everybody's ever been in church, heard of David and the great sin, David and Bathsheba. And in chapter 11, verse number 27, the Bible says there at the end that the thing that David did had displeased the Lord. David, the Bible teaches us, was a man after God's own heart. He's a man that loved the Lord, loved the precepts of God. 1,127 times David's name is mentioned in the Word of God. 54 chapters of the Bible are given to the life of David. David was a man that loved the precepts, the statutes, the judgments, and everything about God. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." David was a man that loved God. As a young teenage boy, David believed God and said, "Is there not a cause?" and went up against the Philistine giant and beheaded him. Amen. Took his head off because there was a cause. He was a man that believed God, believed in God. But here's a time in David's life where he had sinned against the Lord. We know the account there. We know what took place there and how he saw something he shouldn't have been looking at. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But he began to look at Bathsheba there when he should have been out on the battlefield. He should have been somewhere else. But anyway, we know that his eyes began to lust after something he didn't need. He didn't have no business looking at. Amen. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. That's what the book of James says. And so we find in David's life there's sin. And I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, in chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says that the Lord had sent Nathan unto David. Now, between chapter number 11, chapter number 12, it's about a period of a year's time, maybe a year and a couple of months of time that has passed away. And David now has covered up this sin. He's not announced it. He hasn't said anything. He's trying to hide it, trying to keep it a secret. We read that in verse number 12 of chapter 12, "For thou didst it in secret." And so we know David's trying to cover it up. Notice again, verse number 1, that the Bible says that the Lord sent Nathan unto David. David had committed a great sin, but the Lord sent him a message. Amen. I'm glad that God's interested in our lives. Whenever we make mistakes, whenever we sin, I'm glad there's a prophet or there's a preacher that'll bring the Word of God to us. Amen. And deliver us the message that God has for us. The Lord took the first step. God moved first. It wasn't David running to the Lord. David was doing what sin nature does and what our flesh does and trying to hide that sin and trying to cover it up and make everybody think everything was okay when it was not okay. And so the Lord, the Bible says, made the first move, and he sent Nathan unto David. We know, as we study in the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve had sinned there in the garden. It wasn't Adam and Eve looking for God, but the Bible says that God came in the cool of the evening and he was looking for Adam and Eve. Amen. And he says, "Adam, where art thou?" Amen. I'm glad God's still looking for an old sinner. Amen. That's a good preach right there, but won't have time for it. But God pursued after them to bring them back to himself. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 verse 10 that the Savior, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. I'm glad the Lord makes the first move. Amen. And we find here in David's life that the Lord had made the first move, and he sent a preacher to confront David with his sin. And I'm glad that Nathan had the backbone to do that. Amen. Many people don't like to preach on sin, but sin is still sin. It's still in the Bible. Amen. Now just hold on a minute. I might preach a little bit on sin tonight, but I promise you there's a punchline to this thing, and it's going to get better before it gets over with. Amen. All right, just stay with me. But we know that there's sin, and see that there's sin in David's life. There's always the results of sin. Although there may be forgiveness for sin, but there's always the results of sin. Here we find in David's life, he had laid with Bathsheba. He'd done this awful thing with Bathsheba, and there was a child. That child is the result of David's sin. And the Lord said unto David, David, because you've done this thing, because you've sinned against me, because you've sinned against the children of Israel, you've done this thing in secret, but I'm going to repay you, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to judge you before all of Israel and before the sun. Verse number 12, we find there that the Lord said, thou didst in secret, but I'll do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, he confessed his sin there to Nathan, said, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, that's not a newsflash. We know that already. Amen. David knew that. David had been trying to cover it up for quite some time. And so whenever we think about this for just a moment, there's something that sin does in our life. David had sinned with Bathsheba and he tried to cover it up and wouldn't confess that sin. So sin causes grief. You go to Psalms 51, you find the confession of David's prayer there. David begins to pray and he says, my sins are ever before me. Amen. And David said, blot out my transgressions, renew a right spirit within me. So it's sin that brings or causes grief. Amen. There's no grief like the grief of sin. Amen. There's no grief in this world. We can have a lot of heartaches and a lot of troubles, but there's no grief like the grief of sin. If you're a born-again believer tonight, or if you're lost, you have the grief of sin, but it's a whole other ballgame if you're lost. Amen. But we're talking about those that are saved tonight. If you're saved and you have sin in your life, there's that pressure, that grief of sin that grips you until you confess it. We find that in David's life, there's the sadness of mind. Notice with me, you would, in verse number 3, this poor man, the Bible said, had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which had brought up and nursed it up, and it grew up together with him and his children. And listen, he's talking about that thing that David had stole from Uriah. And in his mind, listen, he thought that was okay to take Uriah's wife. And that was a mind thing, amen? He didn't bring it into captivity, as we talked about the other night. So David's had sadness of mind. I've stole. As Nathan begins to present that to him, you stole this man's one little ewe lamb, all that he had that brought up with him and grew up with his children and ate from his table, and you stole that from him. So there was sadness of mind over David's sin. I'm trying to paint a picture for you tonight. You pray that I can do that. We find not only was there sadness of mind, but there was grief of body or sickness of the body. Verse number 8, the sadness, here we go, and sickness. Verse number 8 in Psalms 51, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And so David had the sickness of the body. Amen. In Psalms 32, we go there and we find that David talks about his body and he was drying up. And he says there in verse number 3, Psalms 32, David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. And David had the sickness of the body. Amen. Let me say tonight, if any time you commit a sin and you try to cover it up, it's going to mess with your mind. Amen. It's going to be sadness of mind. There's going to be grief beyond belief. Amen. There's grief in sin, and then there's going to be sickness of the body. Trying to cover that up, trying to put that off, and trying not to confess that, but just trying to convince yourself that sin is okay. And it's not okay. David is giving us an idea here, painting us a picture here in the scripture, that there's sadness of mind, there's sickness of body. But then also, let me get over there to Psalms 51 once again and read verse number 11. I should have told you to turn to three places, but that's all right. Verse number 11, David says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David said, in my sin I was separated from the fellowship of God. If we're saved tonight, there's nothing that we can do to be lost. Amen? Once you're saved by what you believe, you're always saved, but you can get out of fellowship with God. And that's exactly what happened in David's life. David had committed this great sin and covered it up. Now he has grief in his life because of this sin. He has sadness of mind. He has sickness in his body. He was literally weak. His bones, he said, was waxing old. You know what that means? That means that David's structure, the bones, the things that make us walk and make us strong, those things were getting weak. All because of a sin that was unconfessed. Could you imagine that? Think with me for just a moment. Let me borrow your mind, if I will. That David had committed this sin and he covered it up and he says, I'm drying up. My life is like a drought of the summer. And in other words, spiritually, he was dying.
mourning. He had no joy. He had no happiness. It was nothing but misery and nothing but grief. We find here that sin causes grief and sin steals sadness. And David prayed and said in Psalm 51, to make me to hear joy and restore unto me thy joy. That sin, listen, it will steal your gladness. This is preventive preaching tonight, hoping to help you, but I'm really going somewhere tonight, I promise you. I'm going to preach tonight. The title of my message is David's Golden Nugget. Amen. And all this, David finds a golden nugget. I'm going to give it to you here in just a minute. You just bear with me. We've got to get through this sin first. Amen. Sin steals gladness. And David said, restore unto me my joy. And David said, and I once was walking close fellowship with you. I had joy in my heart, singing and making melody, amen, with the Lord. But now the sin has come in and it has stolen his gladness. Find also the way to happiness is in holiness. Amen. The way to happiness is in holiness. Look with me what David said again in Psalm 51. Let me jump back over there real quickly. Verse number 8. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David said, restore unto me. I've lost my joy. I've lost my happiness. I've lost my gladness. I've lost all the things that I had when I was in fellowship with you. Lord, restore those things unto me. But what a sad state it is to be in whenever we have sin in our life and trying to cover it up. Amen. Many people in churches today try to cover up their sin. I've met with them in my offices. Amen. Not necessarily this one, but I haven't met with many people in this office, but prayerfully someday I can meet people in the office. Anyway, I've met people through the years and sat before them and they have confessed their sin and say, I'm doing this and I know it's wrong. And I said, well, here's what the Bible says. And all you got to do is confess that to God. I mean, you have to confess it to me. Confess it to Him. Quit doing what you're doing. Repent of that thing and God will restore that joy. Amen. But we find in David's life, David didn't do that at the beginning. Amen. David had sinned. He tried to cover it up. Not only did he have sin with Bathsheba, commit that sin with Bathsheba, but he also sinned by having her husband killed. Amen. That's just as wicked as the first step. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Amen. Keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. And that's where David finds himself at. He's committed this one act of sin, and it was a pleasure sin. It was a sensual sin. And he committed that, and it created all these troubles in his life. Sin, not only does it cause grief, does it steal our gladness, but sin dishonors God. Notice with me back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Verse number 14. The Bible here says, Nathan was talking to David, thus saith the Lord, you have sinned against the Lord. The Lord also put away thy sin that thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David, you were a man after God's own heart. You're a man that loved to be at the house of God. You loved the precept of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God. You was always said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I mean, David was one that loved the Lord. But this thing that you have done has caused blasphemy against the Lord. It's caused a great occasion against the things of God. And David, because you've done that, you have sinned against the Lord. Listen, the child that's involved, this child also that is born into thee shall surely die. Now we know that David had sinned and David committed this sin with Bathsheba, and the result of that sin is the child. And God says, because you've done this thing, that child is going to die. Now listen to me real close. God said to David, because of this sin you've committed, this child will die. Notice that in your Bible. Verse number 14, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. God said that. Amen. God pinned that down. God told David, you've committed this act of sin. There's a child being born and that child will die. Stay with me, all right? We find that David here, the Bible says in verse number 15, and Nathan departed unto his house and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David and it was very sick. The child, God said, it's going to die. Sin dishonors God, and there's a result of sin. And sometimes, depending on the sin, we have to suffer the consequences of our sins. God said of David's sin, you've sinned against the house of Israel, you've sinned against me, you've brought this child into the world, illegitimate child, you've killed this wife's husband, you've done all these ungodly things, you've shed innocent blood. Because you've done that, this child will surely die. Now watch what David does. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere, I promise. The Bible says that David therefore besought God for the child. What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that? I tell you what's wrong with that. It's a too late altar. It's a too late, David, to be praying now. David, you ought to have been praying up there in that room, in the upper room where you was at. You should have been up there praying and talking to God instead of looking out your window lusting after something you know you wasn't supposed to touch. Amen. What I'm trying to get us to paint a picture of tonight is David let his eyes wander, let his flesh wander, and he began to lust after things and begin to allow the flesh to overtake him, and he finds himself in grief. He finds himself in dishonor unto the Lord. He finds himself in sadness before all the people, and he's dishonored God, and now God has said that this thing is going to happen, but now David decides it's time to pray. Too late, David. Nice thought, David, but you're too late. You should have prayed long before you got here. I wonder why sometimes we wait till the young people are in prison before we ever start. I wonder why we wait till the little girls are pregnant before we ever start to pray. Somebody help me tonight. I wonder why we wait till the little boys are locked up in jail before we ever start to pray. I wonder why it is that the churches are falling down and people are going away from the church before we ever start to pray and ask God to help us. I wonder why we wait till mom and daddy's divorced before we ever start to pray. Why is it that we wait to the last moment till sin is conceived before we ever start to pray? It breaks my heart that the children of our day have to suffer the way they suffer. Now these morons out here are trying to change their sexual identity and tell them they don't know what they are. They don't have no idea what they are, and they need to be a girl, not a boy, and boy, not a girl. They're morons. Amen. Write that down. Amen. They're stupid. You can write that down too. I said that from the pulpit. They're stupid. That's a good Bible word. It's called moron. Why do we wait till our children are in such dire straits before we pray? David committed this great act of sin. You know what David was doing? David was pleasing his sorry, rotten flesh, doing what was well-pleasing to him in his sight, and he caused all this grief. He caused all this sadness. He causes all this dishonor. David, listen, he did repent of his sin, and thank God that he did. But the sad thing is that sin had disabled David for over a year. It disabled him. He wasn't effective to those that are in it. The Bible says he brought great occasion to the blasphemers of the Lord because of his sin. Now put yourself in David's place for just a moment. David is listening to Nathan as Nathan begins to say, "Hey, David, let me tell you about this man that had a little lamb, and here comes a stranger. And listen, that stranger needed something to eat, and this man didn't take of his lamb, but he stole somebody else's little lamb and brought it over so he could take care of what that man needed, try to feed him and all that." David said, "Oh, that just made me so mad. He shouldn't do that. That man shall pay fourfold for what he done." Guess what? God heard that. God heard what David said to Nathan about this one that should pay fourfold for what he done. Guess what happens to David? David pays fourfold for what he did. There's a fourfold payment that David has to pay. I'm going to give it to you real quick. I don't have time to preach all this night because I got somewhere else I want to go. But there's a fourfold payment. First of all, the first child of David's, here we find in this passage of Scripture, it died. Payment number one. Payment number two, the Tamar was violated, I guess it's a good word to say. She was violated by her brother. Amen. Amnon violated his sister. Payment number two. Payment number three, Amnon, the Bible says, was killed. He was killed in battle. Was Amnon dead? Yes, he was killed. Absalom was killed in battle against his own father. That group that went at payment number four. The Bible says that God told David, said, "The sword shall not come from thy house." David rose from the earth, washed himself, anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, he set bread before him. That's not the verse I want to read. But the sword was against David's house because of what David done. And he had to pay for that fourfold.
There's always the result of sin, such as the child. There's always the cost of sin. Sin's going to cost you. Amen? Sin costs you. Sin disables. Sin discourages. Sin distresses. David couldn't lead anybody to the Lord because he was living in known sin. He knew about it. Find that David's confession in Psalms 51. David's plea for mercy and forgiveness. And we find that God, of course, gives it to him, not on David's good merits, but because of the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. David's too late altar. He fasted and he prayed and he went in and lay all night upon the earth. I want to say to us tonight, there's many times whenever God's done said in His Word, this is how it's going to be. This is how it is. And yet we still pray. If God said it, that settles it. Amen? If God says it, that settles it. Amen. The sinner that is unrepentant, that dies, goes to hell. We can't pray them out of purgatory or out of some holding jail or some holding place. That's not Bible. Amen? Why pray for the dead? They're dead. They made their choice. The choice is to be made before they make it there. Amen. Here we find that David had sinned against the Lord, and all these things resulted in David's life. Go with me now, if you would, to Psalms 32. Let me get over there for just a minute. As I said, David did repent of his sin. Thank God that he did. He finally realized that his life was falling apart. Everything around him was falling apart. He was an effective witness for the Lord. He's trying to cover this sin up. Psalms 32, David said, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Hallelujah. David said, I'm telling you that it's a blessed thing to be forgiven. Amen. It's blessed to be forgiven. The reason why David could write that is because in Psalms, or in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David was talking about that result of sin, the cost of sin, and all the things that were in David's life. I could imagine in David's life, I know in my own life, when I was lost and out in sin, and listen, away from God, didn't know nothing about that. I knew that I was, on my way to hell when I heard a preacher preach the Word of God. I knew that, and that crushing hand of God. Amen. Whenever we sin, or whenever we're sinners, we feel it, but it's even worse when we're saved, and whenever we sin, I got away from the Lord. After I was saved and I got out in sin, I was running with the wrong crowd, and every time I do something, I knew it was wrong. And that crushing hand of God, there is nothing like that crushing mighty hand of the Lord that presses against your soul, and you know it's not right. You know in your heart, you know that there's something that's not right between you and God. You've broken that fellowship, and you know what that sin is, because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you, and you know what it is. And that crushing of the soul, I can imagine the agony that David was going through. Look what David said in verse number 3. David said, when I kept silence, that's whenever he didn't confess that sin. He said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night I was in agony. I was in just turmoil because of that crushing mighty hand of the Lord. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. There it is. His hand of the Lord was heavy upon him, crushing him. David, you need to make this thing right. David said, my moisture had turned into drought of the summer. David said in verse number 5, but I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. That means think on these things. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows, watch this, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. David said, not only was there that great mighty pressing hand of the Lord, but there was many sorrows against me. Miserable, just wretched, miserable sinner. David said of the Lord, I'll confess my sin. I'll confess my sins. My sins are ever before me. Let me read Psalms 51, and I'll come back to 32 in just a second. Psalms 51, David's prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I want you to notice verse number 2. There's two words there. It says, wash me throughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Two words. Pay attention, all right? For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As we read this confession of David and his prayer of David, we understand he had the wrong spirit. Every time he'd go around to God's people and God's house, he had the wrong spirit. Amen. He was distressed. He was useless. He wasn't useful for the Lord. And he says, Lord, give me a clean heart to renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. David says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We find in this passage of Scripture that David says, Lord, create in me a new heart. Renew the joy that I once had. Restore that. I've lost some things. Because that sin I thought would make me happy, that sin has nearly destroyed my life. I'm not effective. I'm not any good as a Christian. I'm not any good as a man of God. I'm not any good to the people around me. I'm dried up. I'm like a desert. I'm dry as the Sahara. Nothing's doing me. Could you imagine David's life for that period of time, for over a year, living like that? People living like that all around us. David said to the Lord, I was studying this and I found that David found a little nugget. In David's distress and David's despair, and he's already committed the sin, he can't go back and change that. Amen. You can't go back and undo what you've done. You can't go back and unsay what you said. You can't go back and undo what you did. Amen. You can't do that. Things are in the past, or in the past. But what you can do is go from this day forward. And David finally got to that place in his life. And David realized that he was going to die a miserable man if he didn't confess his sin. And so David was blessed by the Lord, because the Lord took the first step in helping David and said, listen, I'm going to send you a man that's going to tell you what you need to hear. No wonder the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. So David listened to what Nathan had to say, and he confesses, I have sinned against the Lord. Verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 12, David said unto Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. I sinned. David, whenever he realized in his confrontation with the Word of God and the man of God, he realized he'd sinned. And in that realization, David said, I acknowledge, Psalms 32, verse number 5, David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. David said, not only have I confessed to you, Lord, my sin of shedding innocent blood, the sin of stealing a man's wife. Not only have I confessed that, but Lord, I'm confessing that grief, that sorrow, that crushing heavy hand that's been upon my soul, that's weighed me down, that's dried me up, that's literally took the moisture out of my bones. And I am literally useless, Lord, before you and all the people. David not only confessed his sin, but David confessed his feelings. David confessed his grief, his distresses. He says, I acknowledge my sin and my iniquities. My sin has caused me to have iniquities. My sin caused my grief. My sin caused my drought, my depression, my distress. Amen. And I confess all of that before you. David said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David said, hey, listen, think on that for just a moment. I confessed my sin. Whatever it may be, I confessed that unto the Lord. I poured my heart out on the altar before the Lord. I opened up myself and said, Lord, here am I. With all of my sin and all my transgressions and all my iniquities and everything that I've done against thee and thee only have I sinned. David laid it out before the Lord and poured his heart out. And he says, and thou forgavest me. David said, what art man that thou art mindful of him? David said, whenever I confessed all these things, as wicked as I am, thou forgavest me. Not because of David's good merit, not because of David was a man that deserved to be forgiven, but because of the mercy and grace of God. And David says of that, Selah means, think on that for just a moment. If you're saved tonight, it's not by our good merits, amen. We're all sinners and doomed and bound for hell. But by the mercy and the grace of God, if we'll confess, He will save us. Amen. He'll save us from our sins. And if we'll confess and trust Him as our Savior, He'll save us from hell. But as a believer now, if we sin and we confess that, the Lord will forgive us. Think on those things. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That was the son of David, Solomon, that came later. He said, whoever covers that sin, you won't prosper. You're going to be destroyed because of covering your sin. The best thing to do is confess it. What's this? Verse number 6, Psalms 32. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters thou shalt not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And David once again says, Selah. Think on that for a minute. But songs of deliverance in my heart. He forgave me. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. When I confess, He forgives. When I confess, He forgives. When I confess, He forgives. When I repent, I don't keep doing the same sin. Amen. I want you to notice we're in verse number 6. Here's David's golden nugget. In all that distress and despair, David finds a nugget. Let me back up verse 5. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid? I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There's David's golden nugget. Why is that a golden nugget to David? Well, first of all, the book of Proverbs says that if we look in searching for wisdom, we search for it as hid treasures. And David says, as a sinner and sin in his life, he was drying up. Amen. His bones was waxing old. He was drying up. His moisture turned to drought. David was useless to all those children of God. To the children of Israel, he had sinned not only against God, but unto the children of Israel, he had sinned before them. So David now in his life, it's miserable. He's not effective. He says he loves the Lord, but his life is not effective. So when he finds that golden, what happens when you find a golden nugget? You go out here in the driveway out in the cemetery. Well, don't do it in the cemetery, beside the cemetery. you go out there and do a little digging and find a gold nugget and see what happens. Everybody in this community, in this state, will be out there digging trying to find a gold nugget. David's golden nugget created a desire in the hearts of other sinners to confess their sin. David got right with God and started singing a new song. David got his heart right with the Lord and confessed that sin and had a new spring in his step. Amen. There was life back in his body. Amen. There was a new heart created in his soul. Amen. And there was the right spirit within him. Whenever he'd go into the house of the Lord, he was excited to be there because things was right between him and his God. And other sinners begin to see that. And here the Bible says, For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. When one finds a golden nugget, normally it encourages or others are inclined to dig also. If I see that you got something I ain't got, I want to figure out how you got it so I can get it. Amen. Here's something that Charles Spurgeon said. I wrote this down. I thought it was really good. Because David said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Verse number 6. In a time, all the godly shall pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. So let's think about that thought for just a moment. You can't always find gold when you dig. Can't always find silver when you dig. Here the Bible says, David is saying to the Lord, seek him while he may be found. Here's what Spurgeon had to say about that. There's a set time for prayer, beyond which it will be unavailing. There's a time for prayer. Amen. Now's the time for prayer. Everybody with me? Now's the time for prayer. There will be a time when it's unavailable. Between the time of sin and the day of punishment, mercy rules the hour and God may be found. But once the sentence has gone forth, pleading will be useless, for the Lord will not be found by the condemned soul. I have chapter and verse to back that up. God said the child shall surely die. Judgment has been cast. He's been condemned because of your sin. The child would die. David prayed, pleaded with God, had no effect. What happened? The child died. Amen. He didn't hear. The Lord would not be found of the condemned soul. Charles Spurgeon says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day to pray. Anybody that hears this message tonight, either here or by social media, if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to pray. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Do it today. You might not see tomorrow. Amen. We might not live to tomorrow. The Lord might not hear tomorrow. He may catch judgment tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ might rapture the church out tonight and there'd be no tomorrow. Pray now. Pray now while the Lord may be found. The godly pray while the Lord has promised to answer. The ungodly postpone their petitions and prayer, and the prayer of repentance. They postpone that until the Master has risen up and shut the door. Problem with that is then it's too late. As David began to pray for the child, it seemed to be a good thing, David, but it was too late. When God shuts the door on salvation, it's going to be too late. God shuts the door for the believers to get right with God, amen, to make things right, and you'll stand before Him. If you're saved, you will stand at the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ. You will stand there and answer for everything you've done since you have been saved in these bindings, the deeds that you've done. Amen. What have you done for the Lord? Amen. Is there sin that's hindering you from doing what is well-pleasing unto the Lord? You know what Nathan did to David? Nathan just held up the mirror of the Word of God and said, this is what God said. You know what the man of God does every time he stands in the pulpit, or what at least he ought to do if he's a true man of God, is hold up the Word of God and said, this saith the Lord. Amen. This is what God says. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Make it right today. Because you might not see tomorrow. James said, life is like a vapor. It's only here for a little while and it vanishes away. David had an altar, but it's too late altar. We go back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. We'll find there that Saul had an altar also. Saul was the one that tried to kill David, trying to take David's life. And we find that Saul had an altar. You know what was wrong with Saul's altar? He didn't ever pray. And he's always trying to take things in his own hands, do things his own way. And he finds himself there at one point pleading with the Lord because things wasn't going his way. You know what the problem with that was? It sounded good on the surface because he built an altar, but it was a too late altar. Too late to pray then, David. Too late to pray then, Saul. It's amazing how many times people wait until it's too late. It's too late to pray. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Sin, as I said, will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. So confess it as David did and find your golden nugget. Amen. That nugget of repentance, that nugget of forgiveness that God gives. Amen. Whenever we confess, if we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Amen. Keep our sins ever before Him. David said, my sin is ever before thee. Amen. God knows exactly everything that goes on in your life and my life. Amen. David said, my sin is ever before thee. Blot out my transgression. Amen. I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge my sin. It's ever before thee. And against thee have I sinned and done this evil. Make it right with God. I want to just encourage you tonight, don't wait until it's too late to pray. Don't wait till the home's broken up before we begin to pray. I know several homes right now that's on the verge of falling apart. The problem is they're trying to pray now, but it's almost too late. Things are just almost off the deep end. Unless God intervenes and does some miraculous things, it'll go south. It'll be destroyed. When it comes to financial altars, don't wait till it's too late to pray. Don't wait till you're losing everything you got to try to pray. Well, Lord, what should I do about my finances? Don't wait till it's too late. Amen. Everything that you do in this life as a husband and wife, the greatest thing my wife and I have realized is that if we begin to pray over our financial decisions, don't wait till it's too late. There's too late altars. We wait till it's too late in our finances. You know what the biggest problem in marriages is? Finances. That's the biggest, number one problem in all marriages is finances. Because most of the time, young people want what mom and daddy have. They've worked 40, 50 years to have, and the young people want to start out like that. They want to have the nice house. They want to have the nice car. They want to have all the nice furniture and all the things that mom and daddy's got in their house. Their house is so full of all kinds of stuff. Why can't we have that? That's what they want. They look at that and they begin to lust and want those things. And so they try to achieve those things and get those things and they go in debt. Then they have to work themselves to death, try to pay for all of it. And then they fuss and fight with each other because they can't afford to pay the bills. How do you know that? Because I've been there. I was once young too. I know. We've had many of arguments over that. And we realized we put that in the hand of the Lord. This is your money to begin with. This is our life for you, and we give it to Him. Pray about the finances. Amen. Don't wait till it's too late. Financial altars, family altar. Amen. Marriage altars. Boy, I could just go on. I could preach another message on altars. The biggest thing is keep it on the altar. Keep your life before the Lord. I mentioned this morning, I want to reiterate again tonight, that's what the altar's for. Many people, I think, is quit coming to altars because they're afraid somebody's going to talk about it. I find in my Bible many times that they would bring it to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the head of the house, the husband, the head of the house, built an altar. He was the priest of that home. And he would take the petitions to the Lord for the home. Amen. And so there's nothing wrong with that in our day. The husband is to be the head of the house. Amen. Not many amens these days, but that's Bible. Husband be the head of the house. It's your responsibility, men, to take that to the Lord. Amen. To keep your family on the altar before the Lord. That's your responsibility. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's your responsibility. A lot of men pick on and beat their wives up, but not literally, some of them literally, but some of them beat them up physically, but some of them beat them up mentally, and they abuse them and say, well, that's her fault. That's her fault. Really? When's the last time you prayed about that? When's the last time you took your wife by the hand and said, honey, let's go to the altar and bring this before the Lord and let God help us with it? When's the last time that happened? Amen? I wonder why so many families are destroyed. You know why they're destroyed? Because sin is overtaken in their life. And you and I as believers, we can have that joy that David talks about. We can have that right spirit about us if we keep it before the Lord and don't wait till everything's nearly destroyed. David said, I was nearly dried up, nearly lost everything I had before I realized it's not in my capabilities, but it's all in His. Give it to the Lord. Amen.